Hey guys, so before I get started, I'd just like to point out that for the second year in a row, my mom is too nervous to be here, and she's in the back again. And no, she's not going to live this one down either. There's a popular saying that everyone loves an underdog. Whether we cheer for them at our sports games, read about them in history books, or watch their animated Disney movies, people like to cheer for the underdog. And like Cameron was just talking about, God loves to support the underdog too. He loves them so much that he uses them throughout the Bible to do his work. And one great example of this is Gideon. Gideon is a really anxious guy. His family's not the best. He's been viewed at the bottom all his life. And he's definitely learned that he needs to look a gift horse in the mouth before he accepts it. So when this angel shows up and said, God has chosen you, Gideon is skeptical, to say the least. And he decides to challenge God. And he says, God, I'm going to leave this fleece on the ground. And in the morning, I want the fleece to be filled with morning dew and the ground around it to be completely dry. Gideon wakes up, the fleece is wet, the ground is dry, and he's still not satisfied. So he decides to ask God to do it again, except this time, make the ground wet and leave the fleece dry. Gideon wakes up, the fleece is dry, the ground is wet, and Gideon is convinced. So he goes about to gather an army, and he finds 32,000 people to fight the Midianites. And he's getting ready to go off to the war, and God says, wait a minute, this isn't right. Ask them if they're afraid. And if the answer is yes, send them home. And so Gideon's thinking, they're not afraid, they're soldiers, they got this. And then 22,000 of them leave. So then he says, well, I have 10,000 left. Is that enough? And God says, take them down to the river and watch them drink. If they can keep guard and make sure that there are no enemies approaching while they are drinking, keep them. If they just kind of bow down and drink the water, send them home. So Gideon takes his men down to the river, and 300 of them prove that they're ready to be in God's army. And he sends the other 9,700 home. Now, for keeping track, that's 300 soldiers against 135,000. And Gideon gets nervous again. And so he sends spies into the Midianite camps. And they overhear a conversation between two of the soldiers. And one of these Midianite soldiers has had a dream. And in his dream, a giant loaf of bread has rolled into camp and crushed a tent. So the spies come back and they tell Gideon this. And Gideon goes, oh, this is great. This is a sign that we're going to crush the Midianites. Let's go fight them. And God says, I have a plan about that, actually. So Gideon gives each of his soldiers a horn and a lamp and a pitcher to cover the lamp so that the Midianites don't see them coming. And in the middle of the night, Gideon and his 300 men sneak off to the enemy camp and split up into three groups and arrange themselves on the hill around it. On Gideon's signal, they smash the pitchers, blow the horns, and shout, "The sword of the Lord and of Gideon." And the enemy soldiers all wake up at once, and they're confused, and all this noise is happening around them. And so they just grab their swords and start fighting whatever they can see. What they don't know is that Gideon and his soldiers are not in the camp, so they're just fighting each other. And some of the Midianites realize that this is what's happening, so they run away. And they run, and they run right back into the territory of the soldiers that were cut from the army. And the Midianites are no longer a problem. God, every step of the way, Gideon was at a disadvantage. He had to put his faith in God, and God used him, even though he was considered an underdog. God has a plan for everyone. You've heard it from Courtney. You've heard it from Cameron. You probably don't want to have to count how many times you've heard it from a Sunday school teacher, a pastor, over the last few years. But it's true, and especially for God's children that are considered outcasts and underdogs. When David fought Goliath, he was a teenage boy with a slingshot against a giant with a sword. When Paul was trying to spread the gospel and was imprisoned dozens of times, he wrote some of the most well-known books of the Bible. When Gideon was preparing to fight the Midianites, when he was outnumbered and nervous, God stepped up with a plan that gave him the victory. He even had a plan for the people he had cut from the army. In the high school youth Sunday school class every week, we have a thing called a game changer verse. And it's pretty much what it sounds like. We bring in a verse that has impacted us or changed our lives in some way. And one of the verses that was brought in, I forget by who, was 1 Corinthians 1:27, which reads, "But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong." And that's our big takeaway. God has a plan for everyone, but especially his underdogs. While you're cheering for the underdogs, God is cheering for you. And that's pretty great. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear God, thank you for this day and for family and friends to share it with. Thank you that the youth-led worship went so well today and for standing by us while we were preparing for it. Please be with the prayer requests in the bulletin and the ones that aren't. And thank you for always having a plan for your underdogs. In Jesus' name, amen.